The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are ones that you'll actually want to hear about. But we need to learn a little bit more about you to make that possible. So go to podsurvey.com/Florio and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way, we can bring on advertisers you won't want to skip. Once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/Florio, F-L-O-R-I-O. Thanks for your help.
There's the announcement from yesterday. Extended. Andy Reid, head coach, Brett Veach, general manager, Mark Donovan, president. And look, I specifically wanted this tweet to be shown because, and I'm just going to go out and say it, I've considered how best and most tactfully to say it, but get Mark Donovan off that graphic. What's he doing on that graphic? What has he done to really deserve that kind of attention and focal point? And this is what drives the football people in every organization crazy. There's always somebody who isn't accountable with their jobs, who shows up when things are going well, to say, put me in the spotlight. Look, he's the biggest guy on the graphic. And let's look at this. Patrick Mahomes is the reason those three guys have gotten their contracts. Well, Andy Reid coaches him. Brett Veach found him. What's Mark Donovan done other than, like, balance the books?
Well, I don't know. Maybe did he hire Veach and Andy Reid?
Well, no, I don't know. I don't know that he was the team president when Reid was hired.
I know.
I mean, look.
I couldn't remember either.
Look, you know what he's done in the last year? He was responsible for the landslide defeat of this ballot measure that he was front and center on behalf of the Chiefs pushing to try to get free money to renovate Arrowhead Stadium. It wasn't even close. He said, we're optimistic we'll win. It was a landslide defeat. And the last that we heard from him on a matter other than the embarrassing blowout loss for a team that's more popular in its local market than any in the NFL right now was when he was asked about the Rashee Rice incident. And he said, thank God nobody was injured. And it's like, what are you talking about, Mark? People were injured. Are you clueless or are you lying? So I'm just saying, on behalf of Andy Reid and Brett Veach, get that guy off the graphic. Good for him to get a contract. I don't know what all he does for the team, but he's not involved in the winning of football games.
All right.
Well, I don't think.
But like
I
you just always don't say, these guys
on
are
behalf of the football, yeah. If I'm Reid and I'm Veach or their family members, I'm like, it really should be the moment for Reid and Veach, not the bean counter who's the, you know, representative of Clark Hunt, who lives in Dallas, who's in the building every day.
Right.
And I know that's a little harsh.
Yeah,
it's
beyond a little harsh. It's crazy harsh. Like, hey, congratulations.
Get him off the graphic.
Now I'm going to shit on you for your new deal. Thank you.
Get
there to go.
I never said congratulations.
No.
Get him off the graphic.
No, I don't know.
Unless, hey,
Of all the things that you're worried about,
Chris,
you talk about it. You just are talking about the Jets.
No.
It starts from the top, right?
Point.
I mean, there's a guy that's the president. I don't know exactly what he does.
Clark got an F minus.
Right.
Clark got an F minus.
Yeah, but they got an A plus on the field.
Maybe he had something to do with that.
They got an A plus.
Right. And what did Mark Donovan have to do with what happened on the field?
I don't know.
My point is this.
He might have hired Andy
Reid. If things were going sideways right now for the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid and Brett Veach were on the hot seat, we wouldn't be talking about Mark Donovan being on the hot seat. This is just one of the things that drives the football people crazy.
I know.
There's always somebody who tries to slide into the spotlight when everything's doing well. And when it's not, they're hiding under the bed. I have nothing to do with football operations. This is just a prime example of the positive side. When things are going great, here I am. When things are going poorly, I don't have anything to do with football. Then that I know, because I've been hearing it for 23 years, it drives the coaches, the GMs, the scouts, the assistants crazy that they have to carry the accountability with their jobs and they have to share the glory with others whose asses aren't on the line when things go poorly. And in this instance, the one thing he was in charge of was a debacle. The failed vote. You can't leverage the popularity of this Chiefs team into getting enough people to vote. And now it's like, well, it was because it was tied to baseball. Well, you tied it to baseball. You should have gotten away from the Royals. You guys went forward with this thing, and it was an abject failure. That's the one thing on Donovan's resume. That's why, you know, we play the game, which doesn't belong and why. It's not a hard one if we would play which doesn't belong and why.
Listen, right. I don't know how much he's in charge of who gets what released on social media, okay? You know, they're trying to show continuity as an organization. You didn't think that vote was going to work anyways, right? I don't know.
They tried.
You know, of course they did.
They should have done it if they thought it was going to fail.
I mean, they're not going to.
We're number one of politics. Don't get on a losing horse.
Well, that was going to be a tough horse to win the race no matter what, as we saw.
I mean, don't get on it.
Well, they want a new stadium. What are you going to tell them? I mean, yeah, and they don't want to pay for it, so they gave it their best shot. I don't know. You're being a little harsh. That's what I would say, Dr.
That's okay. That's okay. Right. My back hurts. Hey, look, we can, you know, if you want to see ass kissing and flowers and pom-poms, watch another show. Oh, wait, it's not on for 5 months. But there's got to be some other show you can watch that will give you glass half full all the time. We're going to give you reality. I'm going to give you my truthful, honest assessment all the time. And with the benefit of doing this job for 23 years, I can tell you, and they won't come out and say it, but coaches and general managers throughout the league will see that graphic and they will say, what the is Mark Donovan doing on that graphic? That's what they'll say.
I don't
because
disagree with
his
that.
His ass isn't on the line when things go sideways. Okay.
I hear you.
Now, I will. Let's pivot to this. Supposedly, Andy Reid is now the highest paid coach in the NFL. Now, until they give us the full scope of the money he's getting from the Chiefs and from whatever other business interest Clark Hunt has that is feeding Andy Reid separately, and we know that happens to keep the expectations lower for all the other coaches.
Is the highest number right now, right? What do we think is the highest number now that Belichick's gone?
Well, Belichick, according to the ESPN article from last week, he's getting $25 million this year.
I don't doubt that.
I don't believe that's true.
I think it's north of 20,
I don't believe that's true.
I think it's north of 20.
Yeah.
But I don't know about 25.
He was at 12.5. Reed was at 12.5.
Yeah, that's way too low.
And Peyton's at 20.
Right.
Peyton's at 20,
right? McVay is around 17 or 18. Isn't that what we heard a few years ago, right?
Around that, yeah, around that.
Right.
But we still don't know where those extra little pieces factor into this. There's the contract that goes to the league. And then there's the other stuff that the guy gets to just, you know, let's not blow the curve and let's not let the other coaches know that there's a rising tide out there that isn't lifting their boat.
I feel like that's going on less, though. I will say that. It's not as much as the old days, right? I do think it's because of you and how you've explained it and you've made it a big thing. I do think that's going on less with, like, paying from another to suppress the market. I do think in the last few years it's actually starting from the people I do know and talk to. I think it's actually starting to become a little bit more real. I'm sure it's not 100% real to your point, but I think it's less than it was 15, 20 years ago with coaches getting paid off the books. That's all.
Or they're getting better at hiding it.
Maybe they are. Right. You know.
But where is Reed? And look. You know, it's funny because 12.5 was an embarrassment. It never should have been 12. 12.5, after everything he had done, to be getting paid $12.5 million per year, when Belichick's at twice that amount, when Peyton's at 20, when you've got two Super Bowl wins, you've got this team that is constantly successful and constantly contending and constantly competing and weathering all storms, and he's at 12.5. And remember all that talk about maybe he'll retire after this year. The Chiefs were bracing for the possibility. You know, at the core of it all, and and I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but, you know, because he didn't retire, that it's this very binary thing. Oh, you said he might retire and he didn't retire. Well, you were wrong. Well, just because he didn't do the thing he might do doesn't mean he wasn't going to possibly do it. And it might have just been an effort to get the contract he now has. Hey, if you're going to pay, if you're going to keep paying me $12.5 million, I'm too old for this shit. You want to pay me a fair rate commensurate with the top coaches in the game, then I'll keep doing it at age 65.
Yeah.
But if you're going to keep disrespecting me at 12 and a half, I'm not going to keep doing it. And that becomes a factor in whether or not you're going to continue to go forward. You're going to treat me fairly or you're not. And through all of that stuff, Chris, through all of that stuff in December and January, and you and I know stuff that we can't say, that if we said it, people would be like, hey, maybe they were bracing for Andy Reid. Maybe they really were. Wow. Well, that happened? Oh, wow. Maybe they were bracing for Andy Reid to possibly retire. I never got 1 ounce of pushback from the Chiefs, from Reid, from anybody, directly or indirectly, that you're barking up the wrong tree. And we know how this goes. When we're barking up the wrong tree, people will tell us you're barking up the wrong tree. And at the end of the day, you know, hey, you offer this guy a contract that supposedly makes him the highest paid coach in the NFL. Yeah, I'll keep going. On top of having Patrick Mahomes chasing, now he's in pretty good position to catch Don Shula. Forget about Bill Belichick. It might be Andy Reid that catches Don Shula before it's all said and done. But you still got to make it fair. And there's no salary cap for coaches. The Chiefs are swimming in money. It's time to take care of Andy Reid and Brett Veach, which is what they finally did.
Yeah, good for them. Good for doing it. Like you said, it was grossly underpaid. You know, yeah, I'm sure, hey, oh, wait, I'm making top-of-the-market money. That energizes anybody, right? It makes you feel like, hey, they respect me. They see my worth, all that. And it's just, it's astounding when he's done, Big Red. I mean, it's astounding. It's incredible. It's incredible the run they're on right now. I mean, we got it right here. I mean, since 2017, 100 wins, 34 losses, including the postseason. 7 consecutive AFC West championships. 4 AFC championships, 3 Super Bowl titles. I mean, that's incredible. You said he's now only behind who? Halas, Belichick, and Shula for all-time wins. I think Belichick on the all-time playoff win list, right? Bill Belichick, all-time playoff win list. Like, Andy Reid's only, what, 5 or 6 games behind. We're talking, like, you know, 2 years from now, he could be tied with Bill Belichick in that department. If they go to the Super Bowl or they, you know, win the wild, you know, anything like that. So, I mean, yeah, we're watching one of the all-time greats. And he finally got the quarterback that could get him over the hump and do and take advantage of his genius and creativity. And it's all come to a pinnacle and they're amazing what they're doing.
Wasn't there a time in baseball when Steve Carlton and Nolan Ryan were constantly going back and forth with the all-time strikeouts record, and one would pass the other, and then the other would pass? I vaguely recall there was a time that was happening.
I think there might have been, right. And then Nolan
really
just outlasted him and
baseball.
Put him away, right?
Yeah. But look, I mean, you consider the team that Andy Reid has. MDS did the math today. If they average 12 or 13 wins per season, and they've averaged 12 and a half since Mahomes has been the quarterback, if they average 12 to 13 per year, by 2029, the last year of this new contract, Andy Reid will catch Don Shula.
Wow.
And I remember making that point last summer when we started looking at the all-time records and where's Belichick and Randy Reed's coming up on the outside.
Yeah.
And he's got the greatest quarterback of all time, right, or one of them.
Yeah.
Belichick doesn't anymore. And Belichick doesn't even have a job right now. Doesn't that create an even greater incentive for him to not just get back? He needs to get back to a team that can win. He doesn't need to come back and not win. He needs to find a team where he can win right away and try to catch Don Shula before he gets jumped by Andy Reid, which very well could happen.
It's kind of amazing
what may be coming here over the next 5 or 6 years.
But, like, when you look at, like, you know, all that stuff, and I know it's an important stat, you know, I already look at, you know, Andy Reid and Bill Belichick and go, you won against Don Shula already. How many Super Bowls he got? Yeah, you got more. That's the ultimate goal, right? So I'm always, you know, and I know it's something, certainly a special thing to have and all of that, but I don't know what, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't know if that brings Belichick to the table just to pass Don Shula. I'm sure he'd like that, but Yeah, I don't know how much it motivates him. I know he, you know, Don's not his, probably his favorite person in the world after Don's talked so much crap about him.
No, crapped all over him after right. Spygate. I've never heard anything that would push back against the concept that Belichick isn't extremely determined to pass Don Shula. That was one of the concerns about hiring him. He's just going to stick around long enough to pass Shula, and then he's going to walk off into the sunset.
Right.
So I think he very much wants to. I think that, you know, he's a historian, and I'm always a little bit skittish about putting too much stock in individual accomplishments in the ultimate team sport, but winning games is the metric that matters. And if you're the coach that's won more games than anyone and more Super Bowls than anyone, kind of hard to argue you're not the greatest coach in the history of the game.
Yeah.
So that may be what he's looking at. But Andy Reid could be the one that we end up calling the GOAT of coaching before it's all said and done. All right, let's take a break. When we return, after revamping their quarterback room this offseason, could the Steelers, or could the quarterback still take a Steeler? Could the Steelers still take a quarterback in the draft? We knew we would get there eventually. We'll be right back with that.
You know, it's two means by which we develop our football team for 2024 that goes with existing talent, this free agency in the draft, and we've been very active in free agency, and, you know, that makes you really comfortable as we lean in on draft weekend so that, you know, we've addressed a lot of needs and you don't feel overly thirsty in any particular area. And I just think that that's a good feel as you go into the weekend.
You can always count on Mike Tomlin for a good quote. The Steelers won't be overly thirsty in this draft. Hey, they got a good team, and they made their noise by blowing up their quarterback position, getting rid of everyone, and replenishing with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. They have since also added Kyle Allen. That's the three-man chart right now in Pittsburgh. That's their big move. The team is otherwise good. We know they know how to draft and develop. They don't need to do anything dramatic. They just need to keep building one brick at a time, and it's going to be fun to see what happens this year.
Yeah, no, they're you know, I mean, receiver, we look at that, right, to be a spot where they could certainly add a body or a significant contributor. Now, we've always talked about the Steelers have the magic eye for the wide receiver position. You know, there's a reason for, like, the last, like, I don't know, 18 years. You look at their, maybe even longer, 20 years, the Steelers have had kind of a pretty damn group of receivers, and they get them in all rounds of the draft, right? They're good there. They know how to evaluate. So that's one spot you can look at to go, I think there's got to be a little thirst there to address that, right? So that's part of it. But, yeah, after that, especially when you talk about the first round, I don't know. Is there a receiver they take there? Do they bolster the offensive line? Is there a guy on the defense and a front seven that might be hanging around that they didn't expect? I don't know. But I do think, you know, they have enough flexibility and they're not too desperate at one spot that they have to reach or do something crazy in round one. And I think that's the positive for the Steelers.
As we mentioned last week, a phone call. Yes, a phone call was made by the Steelers, the 49ers, several weeks ago about Brandon Ayuk, and they were told he is not available. We know that that's changed.
Yeah.
We don't know whether or not the Steelers and the 49ers have been talking, but as I said earlier in the show, if a deal is going to happen that would send, for example, let's just keep it simple, Brandon Ayuk to the Steelers for the 20th overall pick. If that's going to happen, it's not going to happen until the 20th overall pick is on the clock. The 49ers then step right in and do whatever they want. They run the board without anyone trying to figure out what they're going to do with that 20th pick, and maybe we should jump to 19 to keep them from doing whatever they're going to do with that 20th pick. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I can't rule out the possibility of the Steelers trading for Ayuk and addressing it that way. And it would be out of character for the Steelers to do that, Chris, because they have shown that they have the formula for drafting and developing receivers.
Yeah.
And it's always cheaper that way. And you can always replenish that route. You're going to pay a guy? What are you going to pay him? What's Brandon Ayuk going to take from the Steelers that would be dramatically better than whatever the 49ers are offering?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Yep.
And I'd be surprised if the Steelers would flip a first-round pick for Brandon Ayuk pay Brandon Ayuk. Yeah. That would surprise me.
I would, too. I would be surprised as well. It doesn't seem like a Steeler type of move, right? I think this is it's a pretty big draft for them. You know, we know they're a pretty good football team. They have a good draft that could put them over the hump and make them look at them differently. You know, at 20 there. Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of people, hey, offensive line, there should be somebody there good to help them with the offensive line issues. You know, and you brought up, like, you know, trading or doing anything like that. You know, I mean, I don't see them, certainly don't see them trading up. Last time they traded up, right, it was Devin Bush, the linebacker from Michigan, and that blew up in their face and didn't really work out the right way. So, your point about receiver, I mean, let's go through it. I mean, first off, Pickens is a second rounder, right? Deontay Johnson's a third rounder, if I remember correctly. Antonio Brown was what, a fourth round pick? Emmanuel Sanders, sixth round. You're right. It's six. Emmanuel Sanders is a mid round pick, right? The fast kid Wallace back in the day, he might have been
Mike Wallace.
I can't remember. He might have been a second round pick. Santonio Holmes, I also believe
he was a first rounder,
right? So we got him there.
Traded up for him.
Okay.
They traded up for him.
Okay.
They traded up for Troy Polamalu. See, they will trade up.
Yeah.
If there's a guy they really like,
yeah,
they'll move. It did blow up on him with Devin Bush, but they traded up for Polamalu. They traded up for Santonio Holmes. There's another guy that I feel like I'm forgetting, but they won't hesitate to move up to get who they want. And I don't know. I don't know. Is there somebody there that they want? Is it a tackle? Is it something from 20 where they would move up? I don't know.
At receiver, okay, by all due accounts, and Brian Thomas Jr., right, is you know me. I think I ranked him in front of Marvin Harrison Jr. I can say this enough now because I've had enough people contact me that have seen my mock draft and my position rankings. Brian Thomas Jr. is ranked in the top 20 for sure for NFL football teams at the receiver position, right? But he does have a little bit of a injury concern, something there, and I don't know the exact detail of what it is. But he could be a guy that's sitting there at 20 where they can make him think and they can go, whoa, it's Brian Thomas Jr. He's legit. He's got superstar-type talent, right? But you know, there's an off the field thing, right? That's like, you know, one little, it's not bad from what I'm told, but it's there. And we know, and when it's first round, people don't want to take chances on stuff at that time. And yeah, I think he's probably going to fall a few spots because of that. And he could be on the board at 20. And I'd be interested to see what Pittsburgh does if he is there.
They did trade up just last year, three spots to get Broderick Jones.
Oh, that's right.
In round one.
That's right. And that looks like it's going to work out for sure.
They have the 20th pick this year. 2 years ago, they had the 20th pick, and they used it on quarterback Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
We know how that went. Here's Omar Khan, the Steelers GM, from yesterday's pre-draft press conference on the possibility of drafting a quarterback this time around.
Yeah, I mean, if you're asking me, or I think it's not realistic that we'll be taking a quarterback in round one, if that's what you're asking, no.
Why beyond that? What do you think of the guys beyond that?
Yeah, there's some good players there, and I wouldn't close the door on anything. If there's an opportunity to improve that room, obviously we'll look at it. But like you said, we have three guys that are on one-year deals, and we have to be open to it.
Hey, I don't want to play poker with Mike Tomlin. He's got it right, man. He's just sitting there. As Omar is saying what he's saying about the possibility of drafting a quarterback, you don't want to close any door. You don't want to open any door. You want all possibilities to be on the table. Would it be stunning for the Steelers to take a quarterback given what they've done this year and given that they basically can evaluate Russell Wilson and Justin Fields each for the full year and decide what to do for 2025? That would be surprising. But they've already kicked the tires on Michael Penix Jr. So if he's floating around at 20, I'd say it's a possibility the Steelers would take him there. They've done their homework on him. We don't know if they liked or didn't like what they saw when they did their homework. But, you know, yeah, maybe at the end of the day, if Penix is there, best available player, whatever justification you want to give, I can't say yes, can't say no. And that's what teams like other teams to think. We don't know what they're going to do. That's – You know, when Mike Tomlin started going for – remember he went through a stretch where he's going for two, going for two, going for two. The best thing you can be is completely unpredictable at all times. Nobody ever knows what you're going to do. That's the best way to be in a game. That's the best way to be at draft time. You don't want anyone to know what you're going to do. And Omar Khan gave the perfect answer to keep us all wondering. We don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if quarterback. I think even the Michael Penix thing was more of, wait, if he's on the board in the second round, do we want to do something? I think that's what it is. Because I think there was a time there that most people thought he might be that end of the first round, early second round type of guy. And I think there's still a lot of people in the NFL that kind of look at it that way. But I think you and I both know there's a few teams up in the top half of the draft that are a believer in him, and that's not going to happen. But he is definitely one that I have found that maybe a little more split with that thought, and I would think that's where that came into play with visiting him is like, wait, what if he's on the board at 40? Let's bring this guy in. Maybe we'll make a trade and move up and get our quarterback of the future as Russell Wilson's here or whatever. But, yeah, I think at the end of the day, I'd be shocked as anybody if they ended up drafting a quarterback in the early rounds especially.
Speaking of Penix, he wrote a letter yesterday to all general managers that was posted on a website, which means the real audience wasn't general managers. We'll summarize what Penix had to say just a few days before the draft when PFT Live continues right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this!
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury.
I'm gonna shine my way.
The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
Most people that I've come across in my life who went to see the Statue of Liberty the first time are like, yeah, it's cool, but I was expecting it to be bigger, right? And it's like, well, yeah, because across the water is these
Simsisms. Montrosity.
Montrosity buildings, right? That make it look, you know, much smaller.
Montrosity?
Montrosity? I think it was. I think I did. Monstrous?
All right. Monstrosity. Yeah. Close enough. We'll okay. Give you partial credit.
Simsisms.
I really want to pitch Is That a Word as a game show. It sounds like it could be an SNL skit at a minimum. Is That a Word? Really? I mean, think about
I feel like a lot of the public, if you said that, they'd be like, yeah, that's a word, right? Montrosity, right? You know, I feel like you definitely get some people there that would buy into it.
I think there's something to this idea of is this a word, because it sounds montrosity. It sounds like it should be a word, even though we know it is not.
Well, tell him, you know, what's his name that runs Saturday Night Live, right? Lauren Michaels, right? Tell him to call me, and we'll work out a deal, and you know, we'll figure it out. I'll give him.
Oh, wait, I'm left by the wayside. I came up with the freaking idea.
Well, yeah, that's right. You're
it's my idea.
You're going to be my lawyer. It's my stuff. You're my lawyer. You're my agent.
No,
I'll give you 10%.
Lawyer, no,
I'll give you 10%.
Bullshit. We're both EPs on it, or it doesn't happen. It's my idea. I stole it from your addled brain. All right. Let's move on. Yeah. Michael Penix Jr. sending a letter to all general managers, but not in the usual route with, you know, an envelope and a stamp. He posted it at the Players Tribune. And every once in a while, I'm kind of I mean no disrespect to whoever currently runs the Players Tribune, but every time, because it happens like two or three times a year, there's something on the Players Tribune, and I'm like, that's still around? Like, I completely forget it's around until the two or three times a year there's something on there that hits our radar screen like this. Letter to all GMs, posted publicly. And this is ultimately about, I'm not going to read all this, this is about addressing his injury history. And he's had some serious injuries. But Chris, this isn't about convincing general managers. This is about convincing fans. This is ultimately about convincing owners. They're the ones who ultimately turn the key on the launch code for the first round pick. The owner's got to feel good about it. And the easy way to make an owner skittish is to rattle off all the injuries. Torn ACL 2018, fractured clavicle in 2019, torn ACL in 2020, AC joint separation in 2021. Two different shoulders involved, same leg with the torn ACL.
Right.
You've got to convince people that you're going to stay healthy at the NFL level. And one of the truths that I've learned over the years of doing this, if you can't stay healthy when you're getting banged around by college
caliber talent, right.
You don't stand a chance at the NFL level when you're getting hit by the best of the best and the strongest of the strongest and the meanest of the meanest that college football has produced over the past 10 years.
Yeah, no, that's the concern. That's right. I mean, the NFL game, plain and simple, it's way more physical than the college football. It's different. You know, like you said, it's the best of the best. The guys are bigger. They're stronger. They're out of position less than in college football, right? They're smarter players. So all of that, is part of this process and figuring it out. And, yeah, how comfortable are teams going to be with this injury history? You know, yeah, you list off all that type of stuff there, certainly, right? I think the two ACLs are the number one concern, right? I think the positive is, on the throwing shoulder, he had an AC separation. Okay, so what? A lot of quarterbacks have had that, all right? But it's the ACL, 2 out of 3 years, that's going to do it. But also at the same time, you know, you look at it and go, well, hey, he's played a lot of football the last 2 years. Pac-12 was pretty good. He didn't get hurt. He played at really a Heisman level 2 years in a row where, you know, it was in that conversation. And, of course, the game and how they played was a lot on his shoulders. It was standing there in the pocket and do that and make big throws down the football field. So I'm excited to see what happens with Michael Penix. I think he's a damn good football player. You know, he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's got a few things to work on for sure. But, yeah, who's comfortable with him? How comfortable are they? And who's actually going to pull the trigger on Michael Penix come Thursday night? That's, you know, yet to be known.
I was told last week by someone I trust very much, top half of the round.
Yeah.
Round one.
Yeah.
Michael Penix. We'll
right.
see. We'll see.
Yeah.
The key is understanding floors and ceilings. And top half of the round would imply that the floor would be 16. Who's at 16?
Well,
Seattle Seahawks. Who's the offensive coordinator of the Seahawks? Guy who was the offensive coordinator at Washington last year.
Yeah, exactly right. I could see that. I mean, if the Raiders are sitting there at 13, would they take a Michael Penix? I certainly would think they'd be in the conversation for that as well, right? So there's certainly some teams to look at. I think that Michael Penix would fit the Kevin O'Connell offense like we talked about yesterday if they sat there at 11, right? So, I don't know where it goes. I was going to make a point. Oh, here's my point. That I find that consensus, and not that everybody has them ranked this way, but I think most people believe, the ones that I've talked to in the NFL, that Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. McCarthy are definitely going to be off the board early, right? I think people think Drake May is, but again, I will say, you know, I don't talk to every team, but I don't know anybody that's got May that far up. But I'm going with, I hear it from some people, and I figure somebody does, right, as we know. It only takes one or two. But, yeah, the Penix-May thing is a little bit like, ooh, where's he going to go? Where's he going to fall? And I think there's a little bit of like, oh, I could see Penix going the top half, but I think some people, you could talk to him in football, go, oh, I don't know if that'll actually happen. I think he might fall down the round a little bit. And that's, you know, he's definitely one of those interesting figures to watch out for Thursday night.
this letter didn't happen accidentally or spontaneously.
Yeah.
It wasn't something he did without the advice of his representatives. This is either about holding ground or maximizing position. There's an agenda here. There's a concern. And, you know, you mentioned the Vikings at number 11. Well, the year the Wilfs bought the team was the year Dante Culpepper got his knee shredded and was never the same after that. They traded him somehow and got a second-round pick for the Dolphins for him, and he was never close to being what he was before that. And then this past year, what happens? They got this guy they're paying $35 million to, and pop goes the Achilles, and that's that. So if any ownership group is going to be worried about quarterback injuries as they get closer and closer to turning the key on the launch code to authorize the first-round pick or a trade-up or whatever, it's going to be the Vikings.
Yeah.
And the health of Michael Penix. So,
it's a real
concern. These things don't just happen randomly.
Right.
There's a reason why someone close to Penix believed we need to make this move now to try to allay the concerns that someone has. And it's probably owner related.
Well, yeah.
Somebody's concerned about his injury history, and they don't want to go all in with a guy that's had that many injuries, even though the last 2 years he's been clean.
Yeah. Injury history. A frailer type of body, right? Which is what he was trying to squash at his pro day. That's why he took his shirt off and showed, hey, I got a little muscle. That's why he ran the 40. He was like, hey, yeah, I did my knee twice, but how many quarterbacks are running 4 or 5 out here at their pro day? Right? So you're exactly right. This is all about trying to build that up. But yeah, injury history, frail body, right? Some mechanics that people don't love in the NFL. You know, he fades away and throws off his back foot a ton. And then I think, you know, as a whole, he's looked at to be the least out of avoiding trouble within the pocket, even though I think it's plenty good and I don't really worry about it. Right. I mean, the guys, you know, some of these other guys are damn good at that in that department in this draft. But I think, you know, you add up all that. That's what's making some teams have questions about Michael Penix and whether they would trust to take him in the first round.
You mentioned Drake May earlier. How did he feel about last week's Top Golf outing with all the Commanders draft prospects who were there on the same day? Well, funny you should ask. He addressed it yesterday. We'll let you know what he had to say and react to it when PFT Live continues right after this. And I don't know. I hate to think I'm coming around on the whole Top Golf thing, but I don't know. At least as it relates to assessing whether or not Drake May is going to step up or step off, that might have been a valuable
experiment. Well, Drake May, you brought that up, and like it's the first thing I thought. Like, I'm sure Drake May had a great visit. He was everybody thought he was going Jaden Daniels to come in. I got a chance. He was probably like, oh, hey, hello, everybody. Hey, yes, yes. Hello, it's great to be here. How are you doing? Oh, Jaden Daniels, you're pissed off? Screw you, Jaden Daniels. I mean, that's the thought of what's going through his head. So he was on cloud nine.
That was yesterday with what we thought was our final words on the Top Golf outing that the Commanders had when they had the top four quarterback, not the top four, not Caleb Williams. Bears fans like to point that out.
Don't forget the top four quarterback
prospects, and four of the top quarterback prospects were in, along with other draft prospects. And they had a joint visit on Wednesday, but Tuesday night was the Top Golf outing. So, coincidentally, Drake May on the This Is Football with Kevin Clark podcast. The topic came up of what Drake May thought of the Top Golf outing. Here's what May had to say.
I actually thought it was one of the cool events I've been on. I think, you know, we always kind of these different places you go and see, kind of a steak dinner spot, and you know, just you're surrounded with, you know, the head coach and GM and quarterback coaches, and then the Commanders took an approach of all of us being together and seeing how we interact, and I'm getting a chance to swing the golf club a little bit. I enjoyed it, you know, be around the other guys. You know, got to meet a lot of different guys throughout the process. And a lot of, you know, guys I saw in high school recruiting. I remember Amarius Mims. Yeah. I tried to get him committed to Alabama when I was committed there in high school. Again, full circle. I know JJ well, and seeing Jaden and those guys was, you know, I think it was a really cool experience for me. I think,
yeah,
you know, we all got our separate time with the coaches when we need to. It's not like we didn't do any of that. But Top Golf was just a way for us to get out and do something fun the evening before.
You know who he looks and talks like? It never occurred to me until just then. Remember David Keith, Officer and a Gentleman, Lords of Discipline, actor from the 80s? Do you remember him at all? Does anybody remember
Jimmy? I don't know if I do. Give me another name. Is there another movie, I mean, that he's in that I would know there?
How would you not know Officer and the Gentleman, an all-time classic with Richard Gere and Deborah Winger?
I know of it, but I will say, like, you know, when I was growing up in the 80s, that wasn't at the top of my list, I think, of things I wanted to watch, and I just don't think I ever did. So I do know of it, but I can't, like, give me another movie. You don't got another movie he's in?
All I've got is Officer and the Gentleman and Lords of Discipline. Okay. I can't think of any others, which
right.
tells you that David Keith's movie career was not maybe what he thought it would have been. Drake May trying to have a better football career. And look, as you said yesterday, he's not going to complain about it. He wants them to take him second overall. And part of the game, too, is you're not going to bare your soul. You're not going to say, man, I really thought that was weird. That was awkward. Oh, and he went on to say, yeah, he was one of the better golfers there. That's the thing that I said yesterday. Like, as you said, you want me to go golf? I don't want to golf. I suck at golfing.
Right.
Let's do something else. Let's do something I'm good at.
Yeah.
I'll have more fun.
Let's play one-on-one basketball. Let's see how that works out. Let's go there. Let's play a horse, you know? Yeah, those are the things I wouldn't have been happy to hear about golf. And yet, that's what I love, too, because that's what, like, oh, there'll be a goal. Yeah, he's a competitor. Look what he's doing on golf. And yet, like, you're like, wait, I'm in basketball. We do it. I'll school everybody, dunk on you, shoot threes. And they're like, well, we don't want to see that. Like, it's good. They're weird sometimes, front office people, and what they make up in their mind, what they're going to evaluate and see. It's like, that's, yeah, it's a little weird. Definitely is.
The Charles Barkley clip that I sent yesterday. Apparently we have.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
would be me at right. Top Golf. Do we have Charles Barkley? I mean, if you just stink at golf, it's going to add stress to the event.
Yeah.
What are you
going
to do? Do I just hang out and eat chicken wings and have a beer and watch whatever's on TV and watch everybody else golf? Or do I do this? I've never done that.
Oh, my
I've
gosh.
I've never...
Who's ever done that?
Like, reloaded.
What?
Consider it again.
Right.
And then just say, screw it. I'll hit the thing and get this moment in my life over with. And there it goes.
I mean, that is hilarious. Left. That great basketball player right there could not sit there and swing at a golf ball for years, right? I mean, he struggled for years with this little mental blip he had. It makes me laugh every time. But, yeah, can you get something from the Top Golf thing? Sure, to a degree. As we discussed, though, it's still really weird. There's no doubt about that. You know, it's not the right way to start off your relationship with Jaden Daniels, who I do still fully expect to be the pick at number two. Like I said to start the show, the one thing I was led to believe yesterday, because we don't know everything, but you hear a lot of things. And for whatever reason, Drake May's name was always thrown in with Washington. So I started to be like, man, maybe it's, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Maybe that is. But as I told you yesterday, I got a text that was like, if it's not Jaden Daniels at two, it won't be Drake May at two. Right? And we'll see. We'll see. But that's certainly somebody I trust. And then I followed up with that to just make sure I can have somebody else corroborate. Right? That's right. Yeah.
Bingo.
Bam.
Is that a word?
I don't know.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Lauren Michaels, call us up, Lauren. We're all under the same NBC Universal Peacock umbrella. So, look, at one point, and it was just a few days ago, Drake May and Jaden Daniels had identical odds to be the second overall pick.
Right.
Now, that's changed since then. And the betting markets, I think, are just a reflection of people making their guesses based upon whatever the national mood is.
Right.
And
in
the aftermath of the Top Golf thing, people are like, hey, maybe they won't take Jaden Daniels. Let's bet on Drake May. And it caused the odds to pull even. But I'm with you. Like, as you've been saying for weeks now, run to the podium with the Jaden Daniels pick and let someone else take Drake May, a.k.a. David Keith. And here is the photographic evidence.
Hey, you're right about this.
Election.
Holy crap.
There he is.
Holy crap.
And that's not even a great angle of David Keith. And I never thought of it. I mean, we sat with the guy for 15 minutes in Indianapolis, and it never occurred to me. And I saw the clip yesterday, and it didn't occur to me. But it wasn't until it was on the monitor in front of me here that I thought, man, he looks and talks like David Keith.
No, it's like they're brothers.
That Texas-y twang.
I see it. It's a good call by you. Yeah, and I can't. There's another movie that guy's in that I know him from, but I can't think of it.
There was something where he plays Elvis. He plays Elvis in something, but I was trying to do some some research on David Keith, multitasking, and there was some movie where he plays Elvis, and I guess I could see him pulling off Elvis at some point. Heartbreak Hotel, apparently he plays Elvis, if you've seen that, or if you haven't. All right, let's take a break. Will there be heartbreak for the Atlanta Falcons later this week? See what I did there?
Uh-oh.
The punishment could be coming.
You like a Kirk Cousins.
Tampering with a Kirk Cousins. They really like a Kirk Cousins. They tampered with Kirk Cousins. We'll discuss that next here on PFT Live. There's Kirk Cousins walking to the podium on March the 13th, just a few hours after the official start of the league year and the conclusion of the 52-hour negotiating window. And it was during that press conference that Kirk Cousins said some things he shouldn't have said. Somebody should have run out and tackled him at some point. He said he spoke with the head athletic trainer on Tuesday, which is a no-no under the tampering rules. He said he talked to director of player personnel, Ryan Pace. Well, since it was just a few hours removed from when he could have spoken to Ryan Pace, probably happened before he was allowed to do so. He said Kyle Pitts had been aggressively recruiting him. If he did so with the knowledge or direction of the team, that's a violation. He was even involved in recruiting Darnell Mooney from the Bears to the Falcons on Tuesday of that week, which suggests that at some level he was put up to it by the Falcons after he agreed to terms there. So there are layers and levels of tampering that happened here, and I mention all that because Shefty reported yesterday that there could be punishment announced this week in the Falcons' case of tampering with Kirk Cousins. Now,
like right before the draft, like last year, like kind of with the Cardinals and the Eagles?
If there's some sort of a picks deal, that would make sense. And if they're going to lose picks in 2024, it would make sense to announce it right before the draft. And it's minimal attention if you announce it 5 minutes before the draft begins. I don't know if they'll try to do it again, Chris, but you know, somebody asked me, well, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to do whatever they want to do, because that's what they do. They make it up as they go. And it comes down to how aggressively they investigated, how many violations they actually found.
How angry how much, the Vikings are.
Right. How much sway does Rich McKay have, the chair of the competition committee? There's a lot of factors that go into it. At the end of the day, they're going to do whatever they want to do. Forget about precedent. Forget about formulas. Forget about what's right or what's not right. It's going to be whatever they want to do. Are they going to want to slap them on the wrist? Do they want to throw the book at them? What they do is going to tell us what they wanted to do, because they're going to do what they wanted to do.
Well, I mean, yeah, I agree to that to a degree, right? I mean, I think they probably, how egregious were some of these errors and things like that, I think would dictate it a little bit. But yeah, I don't know what it'll entail. What exactly will they do here? Yeah, will they swap a fifth and a sixth round pick? I mean, I don't know. You know, it's a different one. And, you know, how do they view this whole thing, right, that you said? I mean, it's pretty apparent. It doesn't take a special investigator to realize the Falcons tampered with Kirk Cousins. I mean, we kind of right. know that. It's just how aggressive was it? Yeah.
Here's the key, though, yeah. and I'll give you the example.
Yeah.
When Kirk Cousins first mentioned the athletic trainer.
Right.
Because this is a big issue. How's his Achilles tendon? He initially said meeting with, and then changed it to talking to.
Remember that.
Now, if you're aggressive when it comes to the investigation, that light bulb goes off and you say, okay, hang on now. Hang on. Why did he say meeting with? We need to investigate whether or not they actually met. A GM from another team, completely disconnected from any of this, said if he actually met with the trainer on Tuesday, they should lose a first-round pick for this. So the question is, did someone, Jeff Pasch or someone else at the league office, say we're going to explore whether or not there was a meeting? We're going to investigate that. We're going to ask for phone records from the trainer, phone records from Cousins, surveillance video from the facility. We're going to be aggressive about it. That's the key. How aggressive you are in the investigation, Chris, drives what you ultimately have in front of you when you decide when you're going to issue punishment. So I'm not saying what they will or won't do. I'm just saying they're going to do what they want to do, and then we'll be able to work backward and figure out how thorough of an investigation actually happened. We need to take a break. We'll wrap up this Tuesday.
You sound like a bitter tattletaler. You're mad they stole your quarterback. That's what you're doing. See you in a second.
I want the truth. I can't handle the truth. Well, it took about 12 years, but Nike finally found their Oregon. Do we have the photo of like the 9 different combinations between helmet and pants and jersey.
Nikeification.
I don't want to be get off my lawn guy.
Oh, you already have been. You're get off your lawn. Nobody's allowed on your lawn. You're that jerk in the neighborhood that doesn't let anybody step near the neighborhood.
Just wear these. Just wear these. And the 5280, I get it. It's high school. That 5280 is high school crap. 5280 Mile High. We know what 5280
is. I'm just glad you're.
I think it's.
Yep.
We've never. Has anybody ever used? Are they trying to make 5280 happen? I just think it's high school. Like, you know, let's get everybody to rally behind 5280.
Damn.
I don't like it.
Matt, well, you're killing the AFC West.
I like that. I like that. Let's do that all the time.
Well, that
what's wrong with that?
They lose when they wore that. They couldn't win Jack Diddley Squad. That's the problem. So they change, and then they won Super Bowls, like, immediately.
You see the animated, a little animated horsey on the end? There,
yeah.
A little angry horse grunting
out. I do like it. I will say, I like it. I like the Nikeification of the league, right? Get on my lawn, okay? Get off of his lawn, old man River over there.
I like to be able to turn on a game and know who's playing. We're going to be watching those games, 9 boxes, and we're not going to know who the hell's playing.
Oh, geez. Look at you. You're the smartest guy on earth. Now you can't tell. What is the big Bronco on the helmet? What team is that? See ya.
Bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.